Hello and welcome to episode two of the RTE Sport Olympics podcast. Hope you're all doing well. Mikey Stafford here, and I've been joined by Olympic gymnastics judge Mairéad Kavanagh, who's also working as an analyst for RTE Sport during the games. How are you doing, Mairéad?
Very good, thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, nice to have you. We were to be joined by Raph Diallo by the sodden banks of the Seine, but this is take two on recording because the phone reception couldn't stand up to a Zoom call for Raf. Obviously, there's 300,000 people on the banks of the Seine right now looking forward to the most novel opening ceremonies of all time. So you'll have to forgive Raf's absence. It's not really his fault. I think the phone network in Paris is under strain. But Mairéad, you were a judge in Rio. I kind of wonder, I was actually watching the sevens the other day, and like the referees have their names on the jerseys now and stuff. And referees and judges are a little bit more kind of visible, perhaps in some sports than they used to be. And it made me wonder, did the judges get to go to the opening ceremony? Did they get tickets? They obviously don't parade, but like in Rio, were you able to go to the opening ceremony, or were you tucked up in bed
Oh yeah, no.
studying
At
scoring mechanisms, etc.?
that stage, I think all the study was done. But yeah, we did. We went to the opening ceremony. The judges, with their accreditation, can go to the opening ceremony. And it was fantastic. It was amazing. But it's very, very long. So it's, 3 or 4 hours. So you can see, like, a lot of the athletes, depending on their schedule, they won't be at the opening ceremony if they're competing tomorrow or the day after, because it's just too long a night. Now this year is different because normally it's in the arena. And all the athletes march in and all of that. But this year is different. It'll be very interesting. I'm sure it'll be amazing in Paris.
Yeah, no, I'm going to say I'm sure it'll look amazing, but nobody knows what it's going to look like because it's never been done before. They couldn't even rehearse it, so it's very French, I think, to do
Yeah.
something nobody's ever done it before and do it for the first time in front of a global audience of billions. One thing for the athletes that they kind of say, Jessie Barr said here last night on our first podcast, she said, they're very wary of their step count, and athletes don't want to get tired themselves out doing things that they're not used to doing. So the opening ceremony wouldn't have been for everybody, but this time there's going to be 28 or 30 athletes sitting on a boat. So it's a more relaxed opening ceremony than usual for the athletes, at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Because when they march into the arena, traditionally they're standing for an awful long period of time because it takes a long time for all the teams to come in, for all the countries to come in. So yeah, sitting down I think would be a lot more relaxing for them. So you might get more people going then as well, So it's good.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to keeping an eye on it while we chat here. But let's get on to the gymnastics chat because I think we're still getting used to the fact in Ireland that we're actually a player in gymnastics. Gymnastics isn't something that we just, watch as a third party. And it was always one of my favorites. I remember, 1996 at Atlanta. I can't remember her name, but I remember I pretty much fell in love with one of the American gymnasts because I was
Kim's national,
13.
probably. Yeah,
Yeah, I just fell in
it's
love with her. And my parents said,
amazing.
"Are you watching gymnastics again?" Yeah, I love the gymnastics, but I do now as an adult male. Actually, really, it's just one of the events. It's one of the big three, they say, with athletics and swimming.
Yeah, it
Gymnastics
is.
is the third wheel. So we're only getting used to this in Ireland. Actually, we have a medal contender in Youris McLenehan. Can you just kind of give us an idea of like what it takes and like what a huge sport this is, and how seriously some of the world's biggest sporting superpowers take gymnastics.
Yeah, I suppose gymnastics is we're meddling now the last couple of years with Reese and a few others, so it's really come to the fore in Ireland. But I suppose all the blocks were laid probably 10, 15 years ago when the high performance system was put in place and headed up by Sally Johnson. So and then we have the National Indoor Arena. So it's all coming together. It's years of work that you're now seeing the results. And even at Europeans earlier this year, we had a junior make the Pommel Horse final as well. So the talent is there. It's just had to the structure had to be put in place for it to come through. So yeah, Reese is our golden boy. Like, he's amazing. He's a lovely guy. I've traveled the world with him, and he's so dedicated to sport. Like, gymnastics is a cruel sport in that you train 30, 40 hours a week. If you're doing all apparatus, so Reese would train a bit less than that, but it's all consuming. And it's very individual, especially for Reese, just doing pommels. So like, traditionally, you have the big countries like the USA or Japan, and USA in the women's or Japan in the men's, stealing all the medals. But now all of the smaller nations, there's a lot more apparatus specialists coming through, and Reese is up there at the top of that game. So it's very exciting. I'm very nervous actually about tomorrow night for him, but he'll be
Yeah,
great.
because that's the thing with the pommel. Like it takes like we got used to it. Like obviously Tokyo gave us a taste of it, as everyone says. He had, you know, he'd one digit on one hand, you know, a centimeter out of place, which meant that, you know, 5 seconds later he fell off the horse, and experts like yourself could see it coming. The rest of us were just going, he just fell off the horse. But like, it's that, like, and obviously there's the, you have to gamble on how much difficulty you want to put into your routine and how much you want to rely on the execution. And so it's a, there's serious tactics involved, isn't it, as to which routine you take, and do you take an easier routine for qualifying, save the big one, but then the big one, are you practiced enough at it in a competitive situation? It's fascinating, even before they get on the pommel horse, just like the thinking that goes into it.
Absolutely, it is. And that'll all be mapped out in Reese's head. So normally he does do a bit of an easier routine in qualification, kind of point two easier. And then he pulls out the big guns in the finals, which he has been doing. Like, you know, he's double world champion, he's double European champion. He's the person to beat coming into this. There's a lot, like, even in the media at the moment and in the Olympic Village and all of that, the pommel horse final is being built up as the final of the games because
You
there are
reckon there's six contenders, is it?
there is, yeah, there's so many that could actually take the gold. And it's not about just medal, it's who could take the gold. So it'll be a battle, I think, of who will hold their nerve as well. But the first step is tomorrow night for him to qualify. Like in Tokyo, qualified in first, and unfortunately, as you said, like a centimeter wrong. And you can see it. You do, as a judge, you do see it if their timing is off, if they're leading up, that they're getting a bit into trouble. You can see it coming, where the normal audience wouldn't be able to see that. But yeah, you'll know if he's in his rhythm straight away, and if he's feeling if he, how smooth he is going on the pommels.
Yeah,
So.
and what is that down to? Like, he's so practiced, he'll have done, he could do it in his sleep, you would almost say, would be the cliche. What are those differentials? Is it nerves? Is it like, is it a different arena? A different pommel horse might be slightly different, or is it just, you know, that sport, and you like, they're not robots, they can't do, you know, they can't do everything exactly
Yeah.
perfectly every time.
They're not robots, and you can't do something perfectly every time. You're right, absolutely. He will have practiced on that pommel horse because the make and all of that, he would have been training on that leading up to the game. So he'd be well used to the pommel horse, that type of pommel horse that's being used. And he'll have trained, you know, they'd pre-camp there and all the same equipment. So for him, I think it's just steadying his nerves and holding that mental side of it because he's done that routine thousands of times and he's very well practiced. He'll have practiced competing at the exact time as well, you know, that he's going to compete. He'll have done all the scenarios, you know, if he was late to the arena, if something happened, how to deal with that, you know. So he's so experienced now, and he did it a few World Cups earlier this year. He had a fall in one, and then he came back and rocked it out of the boat in the second. So, you know, he's dealing with all those scenarios. He's doing the big routines when it matters, and it's all about experience. And he's got a lot of experience in his pocket, so you'd hope that he just calm the nerves and pull it off tomorrow night and get ready for that final then next weekend.
So if you were looking at it now, as which you will be obviously on the television tomorrow, you got Reese, you got Max Whitlock, I'm going to say this guy's name quickly, American, Steven Naruszczyk, who's the 2021 world champion. What's the difference between these guys, like at the top level? Does somebody favor the harder routine? Does somebody else favor kind of nailing the execution? Do these guys have different kind of approaches to it that judges would be aware of?
Oh, absolutely. Max is the most difficult routine. You know, he can pull off a seven start value, but he's not clean when he does that then, so he suffers an execution. Reese would be known as the cleanest pommel horse worker in the world. The judges know that. They know he'll score high. He's just really, really clean, and he can go to 6-6, maybe 6-7 if he wanted to. So I would think, you know, there's probably six, as we said earlier, that could actually win that gold medal. But I think the execution score is key. So it's about whether Max, you know, Max, this is Max's last Olympic Games. It'll be, I'm sure, emotional for him, but he's absolutely an amazing competitor. You know, he went up first in that final in Tokyo and posted a score that he said, oh my God, that'll be really difficult to beat, you know. So I do think, like, there's the guy Laurent from Netherlands, there's Oleg from Ukraine, and there's the Jordan guy Amat. So there's at least six of them there that are really, really good. But I think execution is key because the execution score will make the difference. If you keep going for difficulty, you are going to make a mistake, and that can happen.
Okay, that's interesting. So Is Matt like is you say Max Whitlock is capable of a seven difficulty
Yeah.
like starting routine. Like, is Reese not capable of doing certain things that Max Whitlock can do on a pommel horse, or does he just not even try? Or
Yeah, he can. I suppose what it is that he can do all of that, and he could compete a seven, but his execution then will suffer. And I think the execution will be where it's won and lost, because the guys who will go out into final and try and throw the real difficult routines in will not be as clean, and the execution is brutal. You know, you will it'll be 0.1, 0.3, 0.5. They will pull the gymnasts apart. And I think everybody knows that, and they know that Reese can do a very, very clean routine with very little deductions. And because the judges know him so well now, they'll be confident in giving him the right score and that he won't get crucified. So they know that he should be scoring high. If he does a clean routine, they won't be afraid to put in a 0.9, 0.8, you know, if that comes to it. So,
So that's interesting. Your reputation does precede you in these things, does it?
well, it does, because they'll have judged him. They'll be used to judging him. You know, you have the top judges in the world there, so they'll know how clean he is. And you must remember as well, the judges are being scrutinized and analyzed as well. And if they're deemed to be, say, if four of the six judges on the panel put in a 0.8 for Reese and one guy put in 1.4, he'll be removed. You know, so there's they have to be accurate in their scores, and they have to be confident in their own ability to put in the score. So they'll know him. They'll know Max. Max is clean, but he's not as clean as Reese, nowhere near as clean as Reese. So even if Max did a 0.5 higher than Reese could still beat him on overall, because his execution is so good. So
Okay.
that's where it's differs. It's like it's you're taking that risk going for the higher start value, but if you're cleaner, it doesn't make a difference, you know. So Reese, that's where Reese's, I suppose, really strong ability is in the execution, and he can do the harder skills and do a seven. But why would you when you'd be, you know, you're giving away your tactical moves there, you know, there's no need for
Yeah.
it.
Yeah, no,
Yeah.
that's fascinating. And so we say there's six potential winners, but tomorrow is about qualifying.
Yeah,
So
absolutely.
there's eight places in the final, is that right?
There's eight places, yeah. And Reese is in the last subdivision. He's in the fifth rotation, he's up first. So there'll only be one rotation after him. So at that stage of the day, we'll know exactly who those eight in that place at the time before he competes. So you like have GBR and Germany in the first subdivision, and you'll have Netherlands, that really, really clean guy, in the second, and Japan and China, they always have good pommel horse workers as well. So we'll know exactly. He'll know the scores. His coach will know the scores. Luke, they'll know what they need to do, but they'll have their mindset. I think he'll do like probably 6-3, 6-4 routine tomorrow, and that'll be practiced and rehearsed in his head. But yeah, we'll be sitting there knowing what scores are going in and who's in the final. So it's actually a great draw for him, because the last subdivision is always the one people want to be in, the first subdivision. You know, the judges are cold, the apparatus is cold, the arena, the excitement and everything isn't, you know, just there, it's just building. So it's actually a great draw for him, you know. So fingers crossed it'll just all come to fruition.
Yeah, so it's the Bercy Arena, and he's in the fifth rotation from 7 p.m. So he won't be on at 7 p.m. really. He'll be
No, yeah,
later in the evening.
he will, yeah, he'll be about 8:30, I'd say 9 o'clock time. Because
And
yeah, this guy.
do gymnasts prefer to perform in the evening? Because athletes prefer to perform in the evening as long as it's warm enough. Rowers obviously have to go during the day because that's when the water is
Yeah.
settled. Do gymnasts have a preferred time to perform?
Not at all, no. I think just once the draw is made and they know what time they're competing, their training session then will be worked around that to prepare, so that they're used to, you know, having their lunch at a certain time, getting up at a certain time, all of that. So the routine will be very well rehearsed since the draw was done in the middle of June. So he'll have practice.
Okay. And finally then, just on Reese, will his score in the qualifying determine his place in the final where he competes, or is that a draw that's done, but is that names out of a hat, or how does that work?
Yeah, the draw is already done. So say if he ranked first in qualification, for example, he could be it'll already be decided. He might be fifth in the final. So
Oh,
the minimum.
so Q1 is already fifth, Q2 is,
No, not at all. It's literally a random 1 to 8, and whoever then places first, you do another draw to pick, you know, where they're gonna start. So yeah,
Okay.
it's all done. So we'll know exactly, fingers crossed, that once he qualifies, we'll know exactly when he's competing in the final. And you know, he's gone up first in finals, he's gone up last, he's gone up in the middle. So all of that is again experience that he didn't have in Tokyo. So it's you know, as I say, it's time for him now to compete and to do what he wants to do, and we all hope win, you know, so fingers crossed.
Yeah. Well, look, first of all, let's get through qualifying and hope he
Yeah.
makes the final. Final is Thursday, is it?
No, it's the weekend, I think.
It's the
Yeah.
weekend. Yeah. So he's a good long wait.
He does, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So look, that's I will hopefully Murray be talking to you ahead of next weekend when Reese is in the final. That's
I hope so too.
the hope. So let's broaden it out and look at kind of the non-Irish kind of element of the gymnastics, which is obviously a significant part of it. And for me and for most people watching, casual fans, that means Simone Biles, who's kind of has returned to full force by the sounds of things. If all things go well for her, she's going to perform a sixth move that will be named after her and a first on the uneven bars. She's returning to this double pike vault, which she
Yeah.
hasn't done in a while, which is deemed almost an insane thing for female gymnasts to do. Even men don't do it very often. So you just read all these things, and it's obviously it's almost double dutch to me, but I love reading about it. You just love her because she's so terrifically brave and she's so competitive, and she really is. She is still, for however long now, she's 27 now, for a decade or more, she's been the golden girl, not just of American gymnastics, but American sport, really. And just the pressure that must be upon her to perform well after her twisties incident, ordeal in Tokyo. It's hard to fathom just what it is to be Simone Biles.
I know Simone, she is amazing. And, you know, I've judged her so many times. What I would say, I've never ever seen anyone like her. I don't think I ever will. I just think her ability, her courage, as you say, and her approach to gymnastics. You know, Simone wouldn't train as much as everybody else because she doesn't need to, because she's just so talented. And that's always been the way with her growing up. She went to birthday parties. She did all the things that kids wanted to do because they knew if someone was happy and had all her friends outside of the gym and in the gym, someone would. She doesn't need to train as much, so she, you know, she can reduce her hours. But yeah, I judged that new vault that she did for the first time at World Championships in Antwerp in last October, and it was absolutely amazing. Her coach actually stood on the podium on that day, which took half a mark deduction. Just for safety, because it was her first time competing at internationally, and she still won by a mile. You know, this is Simone. You know, I like Tokyo was very difficult for her, and she went through a lot afterwards. And she came back and did beam, like she watered down her routine, and she still got a bronze medal. So for me, yeah, she is the star of the Olympics. She is the person that everybody wants to see and everybody wants to watch, and she certainly. She's the one to beat. I can't, like, someone can take a fall in an all-around competition and still win. Nobody else could do that because the medals are decided by 0.1 or 0.2. So she, I think it'll just be very exciting. I think it'll be who's the race for the second and third really there, you know. But for us, yeah, Simone is definitely, she's a legend. Definitely.
The this vault, without getting too technical about it, I'd be interested. I was reading about it earlier. First of all, I'm curious as to whether you think her coach will stand at the podium this time or not. As you say, she can afford to have it. She can afford to lose 0.5 of her mark, but I wonder, will she just do it without, because she's Simone Biles? And secondly, I read the issue with this one for her is that she actually produces so much power off the vault that sticking the landing is the difficult part, because obviously to rotate twice in the air,
Yeah.
she could do it with less power. But the thing is, she produces as much power as she produces, and it's hard for her to almost modulate that. That just sounds insane to me.
I know, yeah. I don't actually think he'll stand on the podium because at the US trials and recent competitions, he didn't. So I think she's confident in it enough now herself to do it. You think he probably wouldn't. But I think, yeah, spotting the landing is so difficult because she's turning so fast and she hasn't got a lot of time to open out and spot the landing. And the fear is that she'll over rotate and go onto her back. And if she did that, that would mean if her feet didn't touch the ground, she'd get zero on vault. So that has her out of competition.
It could also hurt an awful lot, which is
Yeah.
we mere mortals, we also think about
Yeah.
that. Landing on your back of your neck after rotating
Oh, well,
twice in
yeah.
the air isn't great.
At that speed, it's not a nice picture. But I don't think she'll do that vault in the all-around final because she doesn't need to. She'll do one of her other vaults, but she'll do it in qualification. I would expect to qualify for vault finals. But yeah, sticking the landing is the hard thing because she sticks all her other landings, and then you're looking at her and you only have a 0.2 or 0.3 deduction on her probably. the way she's so good. So if she can stick the landing, it'll be an amazingly high scoring vault.
So there's really, is there anyone who can challenge her in any of the disciplines? Like I hear, like Rebeca Andrade of Brazil is mentioned as like possibly the
Yeah.
second best vaulter of all time. Could she, on her best day, challenge
Oh, she could,
Biles?
and if, yeah, absolutely. And if someone has a bad landing, and Rebecca Andrade sticks, that she can, because she's a very good vaulter. Simone won't feature on bars in the apparatus finals. She's not the strongest bar worker. It's her weakest piece, but it's still very strong. But she will feature on floor. You'd expect her to win floor, even though Jade Carey, her teammate, would be looking to win floor as well. But Simone would be much cleaner than Jade. And you'd expect Rebecca to be in all of the finals, in around, maybe not bars, but she'd be challenging for medals in all of them. She's a beautiful gymnast. And even Simone will be on beam. You'd expect her to be on beam, without a watered down routine. So I do think, for Simone, it's like when she came into Tokyo, everyone was talking about how many medals she was going to win, not about will
Would it be
she win.
three? Would it be four? Would it be
Yeah,
five? Like, how
not
many
quite
goals she'd
sure.
win? Yeah.
It's hard to carry on your shoulders, but she has got a big medical team around her, and she's learned a lot from her experience in Tokyo, no matter how difficult it was. And she's a very good inspiration to other people to say, you have to look after yourself and you need to do X, Y, and Z. So I think she's ready. I think she's definitely in her prime, and we should see really, really good performances.
Yeah, I hope so. I really do. I think most people do. I don't, I don't think she has too many people rooting against her.
No.
Maybe opposition coaches or gymnasts, but for the casual fan, absolutely not. So give us a couple of other storylines then in the gymnastics or people to watch out for, so we're not solely focusing on Rhys and Simone Biles.
Yeah, I think the team final will be really, really good. For the women, I think in the USA, we see will they return to getting the gold medal? Because when Simone pulled out in Tokyo, they didn't. So that will be good. There's been a few injuries in GBR, but Jessica won't be there. Gatarova won't be there. So, and one of the Italians, Aisha, won't be there. So it's a bit disappointing that you won't see the gymnasts that just got a bit. But I think the team final will be very, very good. USA, when they're normally at their best, they win by 2 or 3 marks. But I think it'll be tighter because they've had injuries as well. Like Shailese Jones got injured there in the last trial, and she's a beautiful gymnast. It would be lovely to see, have seen her compete, because she would have been pushing Simone and been pushing Rebecca as well. And then in the men's team final, I think Japan. Yeah, will Japan do it again? I think that's a big question. China will be pushing them hard. So yeah, I think overall for me, it's always the team final is something really, really special to watch. And they compete every second, say Ireland, France, Ireland, France. So it keeps everybody interested right down to the last gymnast about the last score, about who's going to win. So I think
Yeah.
that'll be very good.
All right. Well, look, I'm really looking forward to this. It's one of the highlights of the games for me. Coverage starts at 9:15 a.m. on RT2 tomorrow. The gymnastics is in the evening, and Mairead will be there. As I said yesterday, trying to leave people with a interesting fact about the Olympics every day. Today I just want to tell you the story of George Louis Iser. I don't know, Mairead, have you heard of George Louis Iser?
No.
He was a gymnast, American German, born in Germany, competed for Germany, for the US at the 1904 Olympics. He won 6 medals on one day. 3 of them were golds. But the interesting about George Louis Iser is he had a wooden leg. His left leg was a prosthetic. He was run over by a train.
Oh.
But he was still a fantastic gymnast who won 6 medals in one day, including for the vault, which is with a wooden leg. So there's your interesting fact for today. Mairead, thank you very much for joining me. As just to reiterate, RTE2, RTE Player, hours upon hours of Olympics coverage every day, the RTE website and the RTE News app, perfect digital accompaniment, our live blogs and our exclusive digital highlights. And there's also extensive coverage on RTE Radio 1. I will be back with you tomorrow evening, and I will be hoping to talk to Mairead in about 6 or 7 days, looking ahead to Rhys McClenaghan's pommel horse final. So, Mairead, until then, fingers crossed, and I'll chat to you again.
Cheers. Thanks, Millie.
Okay, goodbye, everybody.